Alrighty. So I had debated long and hard with myself, with Ellen in my head, because she wanted a Thanksgiving sermon. So here we go. In my mind, it's an oldie but a goodie. So here we go. So, for everything in our lives, we have a foundation. When it comes to the way we think, the way we live, and even our emotions, this foundation is often tested when hard times happen, when we consider how easy our world can distort the truth, how easy the news can be altered for a particular view, when we consider injustice in our world. We can begin to see our own foundation being tested. How do we respond to evil, to sorrow, to pain, to suffering? Do we have a strong foundation? Indeed, in our world, we are continuing to see a rise in dark powers. By this, I do not mean to say that our time is somehow more spiritually dark than others. The truth is, darkness has always been here. But it has been a long time that it has manifested in the way that it is currently, where once what was once taboo, at least in culture, is now culturally accepted, things such as paganism. Or perhaps the paganism was always there, and it is only now, after we have been so easily blinded to what is right in front of us, that we are finally waking up to see the evil and from it and where it comes. Perhaps that is the one blessing that comes with its brazenness, that a true confrontation between good and evil causes us to be made more sensitive to the spiritual darkness around us. Even then, does it not cause us some amount of grief? It causes us sorrow to know that so many are deceived into destructive practices. It causes us to mourn the fact that evil does exist, and that compared to each of us in our small community, in our community of beliefs, that darkness does have a hideous strength in this world. All of this makes me think of Job. After Job had been told of all the events which had struck him and his family, we are told his reaction is, "Then Job arose, tore his robes, shaved his head, and fell on the ground and worshipped. And he said, 'Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.'" Job's reaction gives us evidence of something about him, and that is what his foundation is. When he was confronted with tragedy, and when great sorrow occurred in his life, the end result was not him being shaken, but instead his staying firmly entrenched on what he had known. His foundation held true despite the sorrow. From Job, I think there are two lessons to be made. The first one deals with verse 20. We notice Job clearly was sorrowful over what had occurred. He showed all the signs of grief, of suffering. He tore his robes, he shaved his head, and he fell on the ground. In all of these things, we see a man who is clearly in agony. He experiences the pain of all that has occurred and feels all the tension of sorrow which we feel in our own times of grief. And even though he experiences the sorrow, and even though he is mourning, what does it also say he does? It says he worshipped. I think very often we can get into this state of mind that when we are in sorrow, or when we are in grief, that we are unable to be thankful in such times. We can have this assumption that we or others around us can't have gratitude or thanksgiving during tumultuous times in our lives. Maybe it is because we feel that if we show thanksgiving or have thanksgiving, then it will negate the feelings we are having. Maybe it makes us feel hypocritical. How can I give thanks or have thanks in my heart when my heart is breaking? How can I have thanks when my heart is scarred and my emotions are full of pain? In Job, though, we have an example of an individual who was able to show both thankfulness despite the sorrow. which he has encountered. He is able to worship God despite everything that has occurred. From Job, we may very well learn that it is all right to feel the emotions of pain and sorrow while at the same time being able to be thankful. That it is not hypocritical to feel sorrow while at the same time and with somewhat conflicting emotions be thankful as well. In other words, it is all right to feel pain. Being thankful does not negate the pain which we feel, whether it is emotional, physical, psychological, or spiritual. Job shows us that it is possible and it is all right to feel such a way. But at the same time, he shows us that there is possible hope for thankfulness, even in our sorrow and even in our pain that we are experiencing at the time. This leads us back to the original thing that we were discussing, and that is on our foundation. Job, as we can see, had a foundation which was strong enough to allow two things. The first was the strong enough to shoulder his sorrow. He didn't have to hide his sorrow. He was able to express it, and it was all right. The second was it was strong enough to cause him to have thankfulness despite the tremendous sorrow he was experiencing. What kind of foundation would allow him to have this kind of reaction? What kind of foundation could he have that would allow him to both express his grief as well as his thankfulness? The answer is found in what he says. Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God. God was his foundation. Because Job had this foundation on God, he was able to have both sorrow and joy at the same time, knowing that God would be able to bear both. What allowed him to grieve so openly was his acknowledgement that sorrow had occurred, and he had every right to express such sorrow. What allowed him to express thankfulness is his knowing God. He knew who God was, how God had given so much, and how in the end it was God's to take away as well. Knowing God so personally allowed him to be thankful. Our foundation can be no less, and thankfully it is no less. Consider what we read in Colossians 3, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. What do we notice from these verses? What is the common theme found in each verse? Well, the first should stick out right away, and that is Jesus is mentioned in every verse. In verse 15, it is the peace of Christ. In verse 16, it is the word of Christ. In 17, it is everything is to be done in the name of the Lord Jesus. Jesus, then, is the theme for these verses. He is the foundation of our peace, the foundation of our knowledge of God through his word, and ultimately, the foundation for our entire lives. Yet along with each mention of Christ, there's also one thing added in each verse. In verse 15, we notice it ends with, and be thankful. In verse 16, it ends with thankfulness in your hearts to God. In verse 17, it says, giving thanks to God the Father through him. In each case, thankfulness is to be found in Christ. He is the one where our thankfulness dwells. It dwells in him because of what he has accomplished. Thus, when we consider our foundation, Christ must remain that foundation. It is through Christ we know God, and it is through Christ we are able to live our lives for the glory of God. He is the foundation for our lives. He is the foundation for our thankfulness. When we consider our circumstances in this life, we will be bombarded by sorrows of all kinds. In the midst of these sorrows, it can be hard for us to be able to find our thanksgiving. It can be hard for us to be able to turn toward God in thanks when so much seems to be going wrong. Each and every one of us has experienced sorrows. Each of us has experienced frustration over injustices in the world, even apart from us. And each of us knows just how hard it can be to continue forward when such sorrow and frustrations invade our hearts. Yet there is hope. For in our sorrows and frustrations, we are able to give thanks. We are able to give thanks because we know God. Our God has revealed himself through Jesus Christ and has promised to wipe away every tear from our eyes. He has promised and we know that the promise is sure. Thus, in Christ, that promise has begun to be fulfilled, because through Christ, God is with us here and now. As we remember during Christmas, his name is Emmanuel. What does that mean? God with us. Likewise, we know of our other attributes of God. We know that God has graced each and every one of us. We have each experienced grace upon grace in this life. Even when we are unaware, we have been graced. Sometimes we do not even realize the graces which are around us all the time. When we consider the grace of life itself, the grace of being able to understand the world in a new light, the grace of being able to love and be loved, know God, knowing each other, the community of believers which are brought here together. Yes, so much grace has been given. Thus we can give thanks, for there is grace given to us daily. Then when we consider his goodness, to me his goodness is what keeps me going when I have my moments of struggle. As I encounter my own fights with the rabid dog of depression, for me personally, the goodness of God is my foundation. I know how good itself comes from God. I know that whatever sorrow or struggle I have been given today has a purpose. I may not understand it today. I may not even understand it in my lifetime. But I know that God is good. And as such, I know that he is able to bring about good from even the darkest of places. Thus, I can give thanks even in my darkest of times. This, of course, has caused me to think about his sovereignty. Our God is not just a good deity who fights with other deities. He isn't simply good, but he is also a good sovereign. He is not a king unworthy of service. He is a king who is good, one who worshiping and loving is not hard, because we know that he moves the course of history toward goodness. This should cause us to give thanks to him for his sovereignty and his might. Finally, all of these things are seen in his Son. That is the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. In him we find God's grace, goodness, sovereignty, and love. For in all the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, all these things were made known to us. We are given the foundation of his grace through Jesus. We are given the foundation of his goodness in Jesus. We are given the foundation of his sovereignty in Jesus. For in him, the sovereign God has defeated all other powers once and for all. Yes, it is fitting for Paul and Timothy to write about Jesus and thankfulness in the same breath. For Jesus is the one on whom our foundation rests. In Jesus we find the perfect source of true delight. In Jesus we find the salvation from our sins. In Jesus we find the greatest of joys. In Jesus we also find the greatest of our sorrows. For it was our sin which nailed our beloved Jesus to the cross, all the while taking our shame, our guilt, and our sorrows with him. So in this life we know that things will happen. We know that sorrow will happen aplenty. We continue to see and feel the presence of darkness around us and within us. We know that there are adversaries and they keep moving to seek and to destroy. There will be times when all the powers of darkness will come against us. And in our anguish, they will take away our thankfulness. They will try to. They will say, "You have nothing to be thankful for. Look at your situation. Look at your sorrow. Look at our power. You can't contain us. Curse God and die." I know that this is what they will say, because this is what they always say in every circumstance which thankfulness is sought to be destroyed. "You know, I am thankful for my wife. She's not here, so I can do this." Yet there are times when she does make a mistake. How quickly do they come on those moments of failure or weakness in my wife and say, "Why be thankful for her? She brings nothing but sorrow and misunderstanding. She burns cakes way too easily anyway." Sometimes. Never. "Don't be thankful for her. Curse God and die." Isn't it that the way it is? When something bad happens, darkness immediately wants to take away any recollection of good which has transpired. Not just with our spouses, but with our friends, our family, possessions, our congregation. As soon as something breaks, well, it was always broken. As soon as a relationship is in pain, it was always full of pain. It's a clever guise to destroy what is good by taking the small moments of brokenness and allowing the moments to break the whole. So what will keep us thankful during all this world seeks to destroy? The answer is still Jesus. For in him our foundation, and in him we know our God is good, and we know that our God is wonderful. My dear family, as we reflect this weekend of Thanksgiving, because it keeps going in my mind, my hope is that you would know that if we are in Christ, we have the greatest of reasons to be thankful. For while this world is wasting away, Jesus is ours, and he is ours forever. So cling to Jesus. For in him all of our hope dwells, and in him we are able to bear both sorrow and thanksgiving, frustrations and joys. For he has taken our sorrows and frustrations, and he has given us a reason to be thankful and joyful, even in our darkest hours. So rejoice in thanksgiving. Be thankful for heartbreaks, because it means you have been given a heart. Be thankful for the hard times, because he has given you life. And he has proven that even our hard times have a reason and a rhyme and will lead to good for those who love him. Have thankful hearts to God for all the ways he has blessed you in this life, for your family, for your friends, your church, your congregation, your time to rest. Be thankful for all of these things. Above all, though, be thankful for Jesus Christ, the Son of God, for he is our foundation, and upon him we will never be moved. Amen. I want to close today by doing something a little different. I would like everyone to read along with me Psalm 111. And so here we go. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the company of the upright in the congregation. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Full of splendor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wondrous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and merciful. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works in giving them the inheritance of the nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness. He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for what you have done in this life. We thank you so much for each other, for the congregation, for each of us as individuals, Lord, for the various gifts you have bestowed. We ask, Lord, as we close out today's sermon and this service, Lord, that ultimately we would seek to honor you above all, and that no matter what may happen, we would remember that you are the strong foundation on which our lives rest, and that we can come to you in both sorrow and joy, that you can bear both of them, that you can bear all the things that we have, because you are truly strong. Your precepts truly do last forever. So, Lord, as we continue forward, let us not let Thanksgiving be a day, but instead let it be a lifestyle. Let us continue to try and honor you with Thanksgiving day in and day out, knowing you are good. We thank you for all that you have done. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Please rise as we sing our final hymn.